As Ellis County continues to receive positive news in the fight against COVID-19, business owners and entrepreneurs are now dealing with how to proceed. Grow Haze Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about your headquarters down there. We're going to talk about Brief Space, because you guys have done some work in the last, few months, right? To do some updating and make it a little bit more utilitarian, I guess you could say.
Well, we have, and thanks for having me, James. But yes, we have. We were able to get some grant funds to do some things at Brief Space to make it a little safer from a COVID standpoint, as well as improve the facility and make it more usable. And, it never ceases to amaze me when I get people come in occasionally and they say they've never been down here. Because I would think everybody has, but obviously many, many people have not. And so they don't realize, what our space is and what it looks like. And they're always amazed when they walk in and see what we really have down here.
Yeah, and I mean, if somebody wanted to check out Brief Space, if they're just walking down the street, they see that there's, the sign, they're like, what is this? And they want to walk in, that's okay, right?
Absolutely. We encourage anybody to stop in and check us out. Brief Space, and many people don't know what the concept is, which, Brief Space is an alternative office space. It offers all the benefits of a normal office space with much less cost and many other benefits that you probably wouldn't have in a normal office space. So, we absolutely encourage people to stop in.
Yeah, one of the coolest things I think about co-working spaces in general is that ability to be around other entrepreneurial spirits. Even if you're not engaging with them directly, I got to believe that helps kind of spur, movement and action and doing things. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
No, I agree. I think the collaboration piece that you can associate with people of a like mind and also resources that might be here that have skills and thought processes that you don't have is part of the benefit, not to mention all the other aspects, whether it be, high-speed broadband or access to meeting rooms, access to audio-visual equipment that you would never probably have in your own environment. You helped me with our podcast studio, just things like that that members get access to that they would probably not have in their own office space. So lots of positives as well as the collaboration with others.
Yeah. Doug, I'm glad you mentioned that podcast because I've been listening to that. And that's a lot of fun. If you're catching this on air, we're on the radio show here, but all of our segments get blasted up to the Post Podcast as well. But your guys' thing is pretty cool as well. And that's on the Grow Haze website, but you can find it pretty easy just by searching like Grow Haze Podcast, right?
Absolutely. I don't know how this works. You know better than I, but we put it out there and it populates to Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, or whatever that is. And so, you just do a search on Grow Haze Podcast and they'll pop up. And we're actually doing another one this morning with a local business owner that recently purchased a business and moved to Haze. And so we're going to let her tell her story this morning. So that's going to be a good one. And we're going to have that out probably over the weekend sometime. So absolutely, people should check those out.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the host there. We don't want to talk about somebody behind his back, but he's a lot of fun, I think.
Well, we can talk about Chris Munch behind his back because everybody does. But no, Chris does a great job, and he's a unique character. And he came on our board of directors at the first of this year. And he's been a great addition. He brings an energy and a perspective to our board that I think is very good. Chris has done a lot of things in his life, and he's started businesses and he's sold businesses, and he's in constant motion. And so he hosts them. I sit along, and then we try and bring in people that have interesting stories to tell. And it works out real well. I think this will be our third or fourth one, and we're trying to do them about about every other week, about 20 minutes in length. We try and keep them at, try and keep people's attention for 20 minutes, and then we figure after that they probably had enough of he and I, maybe not the guests, but certainly they've had enough of Chris and I.
Well, I don't know. Doug, I could just listen to you all day.
I'll bet.
But yeah, but going back to, you know, Brief Space, and this is something that I think maybe we want to talk a little bit about right now. You've got the updates in place, the upgrades, the safety features that are you know, helping keep people safe there during COVID. But, you know, we just we heard from Ellis County Health Services Director Jason Kennedy a little bit ago here on the morning show. You know, for the most part in Ellis County, we are in very, very good shape in terms of COVID. And I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about, like, how you feel like businesses and even yourself down there at Brief Space is going to kind of transition back to normal operations, if you could even call them that now.
Well, whatever the new normal is, I think we are slowly adjusting back into a more normal situation. I think there's still an awful lot of people who are still very cognizant that this may not be completely over. We've been fortunate in Ellis County. I think we've got a good high vaccination rate at this point. And you're right, that if I read the report right, the weekly cases has dropped to basically zero. So that's great news. I know there are some restaurants who have opened up their lobbies again and are doing some things. They're still, mostly the restaurants I've been in are still observing the social distancing and that kind of thing. But I think as we move into the summer, the warmer months, I think that we're going to see more and more of what we were used to pre-COVID. I think, you know, certainly restaurants and hotels, the hospitality industry has been hardest hit by this. But I think they're starting to see things pick up a little bit. And I know there's a lot of pent up, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, people are eager to get out and do things. And so I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that, whether it be just going out to dinner or, you know, events, you know, that we get in here for athletic events, you know, baseball, softball tournaments and that kind of thing. I think we're just going to see more and more of that. And I don't know that we'll ever be back to maybe what we were before, because I think some businesses have found new ways to operate and maybe more profitable ways to operate with the environment that they were in. So, but I think we're going to be a lot closer and a lot more open than we have been.
Yeah. Just anecdotally, I've seen, it seems like a lot more events pop up in the last couple of weeks. A lot more as I drive by like restaurants and things here in town, the parking lots seem full. So I think there is a lot of that, that hesitancy to go out is kind of just fading away. And I'm not making a moral judgment on whether that's good or bad, or what, you know, you have to make those own health decisions, what's best for you and your family. But, you know, it's encouraging to me to see the businesses starting to come back. And I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about this, but I have a feeling that everybody's going to have just a bumper summer. It's going to be crazy.
Well, I think it is. For a couple of different reasons. One is, you know, and again, not getting into the politics of it, but when the federal government dumped $6 trillion into the economy in the last year and a half or in the last year, it creates a lot of money flowing around that trickles its way down to a lot of different areas. So I do think that 2021 is going to be a good year. 2020 was a great year for many businesses locally. So while some really struggled, you know, those who were in businesses that were more directly affected than others, some businesses had banner years. And overall, you know, our economy is very good. I've been doing some work on our 2020 annual report, trying to get that out the door before 2020 is over with. And, you know, sales tax revenues were up for the city in 2020. You know, county valuations of property and that kind of thing were relatively stable or up. And of course, the county sales tax went in October started. And so they started receiving some revenue off of that. And so by and large, 2020 economically for Ellis County was a good year. And I'm not saying it was for everybody, but net, I think it was a very positive year.
Well, I'm encouraged to hear that. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about this as well. You know, we've seen the unemployment in the last, since about January, it went kind of back to more normal Ellis County levels, and now we're seeing it under 3% again. If these businesses start really picking up as COVID is becoming less of a concern, where are we going to find the people to work in these businesses, or is that just going to be a major problem?
Well, it has been a major problem and will be a major problem. I mean, it's probably the single biggest challenge we face in Ellis County is workforce. You know, the availability of a workforce, whether it be entry-level or skilled workers, is significant. I had a gentleman that's on our board that works for he's the HR person for a large local company, and he said if they could find 50 skilled workers right now, they'd hire them today, but they can't find them. And these are good jobs. You know, these pay well. So workforce continues to be a problem. Of course, as I preach all the time, with workforce, you've got to have some place to put them. So housing is a problem, and we have a significant housing problem in Ellis County. You know, there just isn't much inventory for sale right now. We talked about that last week, and we'll be able to see some of that in our annual housing report. But so workforce, you know, the numbers that came out this last week, I think it was for the for February, back to 2.7%. Unemployment is a significant problem, and we've got to figure out how we resolve that.
Well, I think everybody's looking to you, Doug. Just give us the answer.
Well, you know, I wish I had the answer. If I could wave my magic wand, I would certainly do so. But it must be out of angel dust or something, because I'm not having much luck with that.
Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about quite frequently is entrepreneurship. And I wonder if, in all reality, and hopefully you can speak a little bit to this. I'm sure you're not prepared at all for this question, but you know, I feel like a lot of people, especially younger people, and I'm thinking like that 22 to 30 age range, seem like that they're not as willing to just jump into a job or a career, that they want to tackle those things on their own, which is good, I think, in a lot of ways. But also, I wonder if this maybe is, you know, contributing to that unemployment problem.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I would agree with you that different age brackets view the world differently, for sure, and view the workplace differently. And perhaps there's more entrepreneurial spirit than those people that want to kind of do their own thing. You know, one of the things that we are focused on is how we keep young people here. You know, I think a lot of younger people feel like there's nothing here for them, and the only opportunities that are available to them lie in the metropolitan areas, and so they leave. Whether it be kids that in high school that are ready to enter the job force, or kids at Fort Hays State that are going through the university and are going to go out and go to work for somebody or start their own business. And we need to do a better job of making sure they understand what opportunities exist here. The kids that maybe aren't going to go on to a four-year traditional education in a college but want to build a skill, you know, there's opportunities for them here, and we just need to kind of hook those two up, because I'm not sure we're doing as good a job as we need to do to make sure they understand what opportunities exist for them.
Yeah. You know, I think you mentioned this just a little bit ago, but especially in those hands-on, that technical school kind of skill, welding, plumbing, electricians, construction folks, just in general, there's a lot of opportunities in Ellis County and in just Western Kansas in general.
Well, there is. I've talked to, you know, whether it's an electrician or a plumber or, you know, has services who need skilled labor and welders, or, you know, size-wise who need skilled labor. They all have a very difficult time finding help locally. They all pay pretty doggone well. And so, you know, there is opportunity here. And I get that sometimes kids just want to go to the big city for a while. Lots of times they come back. Once they maybe get married, settle down, have some kids, they come back because this is a great place to raise a family. But I think we need to be engaging those people earlier so they understand what opportunities do exist for them now as opposed to later.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, I tell you, we're virtually out of time here. Any last thoughts real quick before we go?
Well, just back on our brief space conversation, you know, I would invite anybody to come down and take a look at what we have here. You know, our memberships are pretty wide open. We have daily, weekly, monthly, all kinds of different memberships that we have here. Very affordable. So come down and take a look. I think people will be impressed in what they see.